Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. It's easy to feel like the world is falling apart right now for a number of reasons, and it's easy to believe we're more divided than we are united. But there are people out here every day helping one another, even risking their own lives for complete strangers. Tony Rivera of suburban Bolingbrook is one of them. He's being honored with a 2022 Carnegie Medal for saving his neighbor's life. The award is the highest honor given throughout the U.S. and Canada for extraordinary acts of bravery and heroism. We sat down with him to talk about how he de-escalated what could have been a deadly attack in his neighborhood.
It was kind of crazy. I was actually on a video conference with our family therapist. I had just gotten over a divorce, and my kids and I were going through therapy. And with COVID, we were at home. And so we were doing a video call. And my daughter, her senior year, she spent at home. So she was listening out her window. It was a gorgeous day out. And she runs out. And I'm like, okay, you know, what's happened? One of her friends is doing something goofy outside because she just ran out screaming. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
And then she comes back and is like, Dad, the neighbor next door is getting attacked. Please call 911. Call 911. Come outside. And she runs back out with my son ahead of me. And so I go out and I hear her screaming, get off of him, get off of him, get off of him. And so as I'm coming outside, we had cars parked in the driveway, and my two kids, Angelina and TJ, were there. And as I looked over them, I saw the son stabbing my neighbor. And as I saw the young man reach over and stab his dad in the ear on the side of the face, when he went across there, I saw his arm was in a position that I can go. And so I jumped in and I grabbed his arm. Disarmed him. I took the knife out. Like, I pushed his arm, wrist and arm down so he let go of the knife. And then I picked him up and I threw him on the side of his dad and held him while my daughter administered first aid.
So the fact that there was a knife present, that didn't deter you at all?
I didn't even think about it. Like, I just saw someone in danger, and I wasn't just going to stand there and watch someone get stabbed. And there was blood already all over. He had been stabbed over, I think total was 21 times that he was stabbed.
And this was the son stabbing his father.
Yeah. And you know, it's a really tragic thing. So I didn't know my neighbor before then, right? We kind of waved at each other, said hi.
Really?
I'm kind of one of those, kind of secluded people, private. You know, I'd like to say hi. I'm, you know, smiling and wave, but I don't like to get into people's business. I'm one of those neighbors that just kind of my own. And he's the same way, right? He was kind of always like the grumpy guy, and then the neighbor on the other side of me too. So even when the police arrived, they're like, okay, who is this? And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I didn't even
know
his name.
You didn't know his name?
I didn't know his name.
Wow. Now, did the son put up a fight when you tried to get the knife?
Well, he was really attacking the dad.
Okay.
Right? And so my daughter distracted him enough in order for him, because he was looking at her and he spat at her, and she was at a distance when I saw that. And, you know, I thought he was smaller at that point in time. I'm a big guy. I'm like 6'3", and, you know, pretty built guy.
Yeah.
And I thought he was a little guy. And then when they told me, like, oh, he's like 6'1", 2-something, I'm like, I didn't even realize that. But it wasn't even thinking. It was just pure.
You just sprung into action.
Yeah, it was purely reactive. And it was weird when I was talking to Carnegie people, and they're like, you know, most people that do these things just react, right? They don't think about it, right? Either if you think about it, you're not gonna do that. But at the end of the day, you know, and I say this honestly, like I disarmed him. I'm that, but the true heroes here are my daughter, Angelina, and my kids. I mean, she heard his cries, and she went and confronted this grown man by herself, and she administered all the first aid. So she was holding the towels and that, and where he was bleeding, until first aid came, which seemed like forever, right? I don't even know how long it was, but we had our Tab in our thoughts. His name was Tab Martin, my neighbor.
How badly hurt was he?
He died twice on the operating table. He lost,
my goodness.
He said over 20 pints of blood during that time. He had a bunch of surgeries. I think he had 15 surgeries. And then the other thing, you know, he lost a finger in the incident with it. So he was hurt pretty bad. And he came back, and then he said he was talking to detectives. And I remember the first day he got back from the hospital, he came over. He was in pretty bad shape still. And we were so happy because it took me like a week just to try and find his wife's information so I can contact her.
You talked about this attack, right, of the son to the father. You mentioned him spitting toward your daughter. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know he had a knife. You also have mentioned that he'd been struggling with mental health issues.
Yeah. When he came over and talked to me, the dad, he's like, you know, I want to thank you guys, all of you, for saving my life, but you also saved my son. Because the detectives told him if they would have showed up before I disarmed him, they would have shot his son. And the son was recently diagnosed with schizophrenia. He wasn't well enough to stand trial. So it was really a mental health issue that happened. And a lot of people don't realize. And, you know, he was really struggling with COVID. He was already a very reclusive young man.
Yeah.
And it just exacerbated it, you know.
So you're saying you've talked to the son since?
I talked to the dad. The dad was telling me this, right?
You've talked to him since. How's he doing now?
He's doing well. He's doing well. So, you know, we talk now, and he was funny. He's like, you know, not only did you save my life physically, but also mentally. He's like, I used to be this grumpy guy. He's like, now I'm just happy. I'm living my life. I wave at people. I smile all the time. He's like, my demeanor is completely changed.
Wow. What an impact this has had.
Yeah, it has. And he's still struggling with forgiving his son, but he's working on that every day because he understands that, you know, it wasn't out of malice. Like, you know, the son, when he understands what he's saying, he's distraught about what happened. So
yeah.
It was just a completely sad situation every way you look at it, right? And for me, the saving grace was that he survived. And I look at the impact it would have had on my children. And like I said, I'm more proud of them than anybody could be of their kids, right? They stepped in to the aid of someone in need. And that was as proud of a moment as any parent could have for their children to be so brave.
Well, your actions, Tony, they're now, you know, being honored with the Carnegie Medal for stepping in there and taking that lead from your kids. Yeah. And diffusing the situation. How do you feel about that?
I'm very humbled by it. And like I said, I don't feel like I deserve it any more than my two kids and then another neighbor, Cheryl, who showed up and she helped my daughter with Tab. They deserve it all. I actually, you know, kind of felt bad that I got it. But I went out and I actually did a little bit of research, and I found there was an old Talmud saying that if you save a life, you save the world. And I bought necklaces for both my kids.
Oh, nice.
That say that because I want them to, you know, understand that they really impacted much more than just the life of one person, right? Instead of witnessing a murder, they saved a life, which will stay with you your whole life. It went from a very negative situation to now we can look at it as positive as we can.
I would love to know more about you,
Tony,
you know, because that can get lost in the conversation. Who are you? I know you worked in the nonprofit space for decades, and now you're a diversity, equity, and inclusion consultant.
Yeah, I do diversity, equity, and inclusion with Audrey George Consulting, and we go out and help companies with leadership training as well as understand how to maximize their communities. I'm also on the board of a software company that's in sustainability. So really, my career had focused around corporate America, corporate life up until like 5 years ago. And I left corporate America because I wanted to make a positive impact in people's lives in a different way. And so I started working on several projects that either helped poverty, sustainability, or education.
That's great. Yeah. You know, I remember you starting out by saying, you know, I normally mind my business, right?
Yeah.
And so do my neighbors to my left and to my right. But in the future, Tony, do you think you would do this again?
Absolutely, because it's instinctual more than it is anything else. I've helped people out in situations like this before, not as dire, but I have. There's no doubt in my mind. And I try and be a servant leader, right? And so the greatest thing that you can do is to help others. And I've always put everybody in front of me. And
where did that spirit come from within you?
I owe it a lot to my alopecia. And so I had alopecia since I was young. And I was also an immigrant. So I came from Mexico. I was 6 years old living in the Lakeview and Ravenswood Manor neighborhoods here in Chicago. I didn't speak English. I had alopecia. And back then, people were not really aware of what alopecia was. I was just a weird kid with patches of hair on there. And so it made me kind of tough in that. But also, it gave me compassion for other kids that get picked on and bullied.
Yeah.
I would always, you know, protect them or try and stand up for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I never shied away from, you know, a fight, you know, when I was a kid, because it was like, that's the only defense mechanism I had.
Yeah. I also hear that you already have in mind who you would like to present this this award to you.
Yeah, I do. There's an organization that's very dear to me. That's Rebecca Darr from the WINGS organization. And WINGS is just an amazing organization that helps victims of domestic abuse. And they're the first ones in the state of Illinois that looks at domestic abuse as a whole. So not just women, right? But they also help men that are in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular instance, you know, I asked Rebecca if she would present it to me because this is domestic abuse as well, right? It's within the home. And even Tab said, you know, he didn't know how to deal with his son's illness. So he was harder on his son, wanting him to do more, telling him, hey, you can't just lay around here and I can't just live with me forever. And so he didn't know that his son was schizophrenic at that time or had these larger mental health issues.
Wow.
And so it stemmed from there. So I thought it was fitting that Rebecca, with the years of work that she's done with WINGS, present this award for me.
Now, it's been more than a year
mm-hmm.
since that traumatic day, you know, where you ended up helping save your neighbor's lives. I'll say lives.
Yeah.
What is life like for you right now?
Well, you know, I am in the process of trying to figure out what my next steps are going to be, really. You know, back, if you would have asked me when I was 28, I thought I was, you know, I owned my own business. I thought I was one of the most successful people out there. And now I look back and I'm like, I didn't like that person I was back then very much. And so now it's more about finding out who I am and living my life with purpose. Because I think I have a lot to offer people as far as my knowledge, my
I'd
work
say
ethic,
so too.
And stuff like that. And I have a firm belief that you're where you need to be always. And
yeah.
there's that higher power that calls you to do certain things, and I've never been afraid. So.
I love that. Yeah. You're a good man, Tony. That is Carnegie Hero Award winner, Tony Rivera from Bolingbrook, Illinois. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you so much.
That's all for today's Reset. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest news in Chicago and Illinois. And if there's someone you'd like to honor for helping you out in an extraordinary way, leave us a voicemail at 888-915-9945. That's 888-915-9945. Tell us who you'd like to honor and what they did, and we'll air your message on the show tomorrow. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening, and we'll meet again soon.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.